In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, Matthew, the 27th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when an organization or club or corporation wants to promote a certain event, to draw attention to it so that many people come, how do they do it? Posters? Billboards? Mass mailings, balloons, lights, newspapers, radio, telephone, the internet. What means, though, did God use to draw people to his Son, Jesus Christ, especially to his death on the cross for the sins of the world? One thing he used was an earthquake. And tonight, I want to draw attention to it. There can be no doubt that the crucifixion of Jesus, humanly speaking, can be traced back to jealousy and hatred from the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Jesus had called them hypocrites. He had interfered with the way they wanted to run the temple, which Jesus called his Father's house. Twice, Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple. He was constantly critical of their lifestyle, and from their perspective, Jesus was very much in the way. So they made plans to get rid of him, plans to shut him up permanently. The Jewish leaders, blinded by their hatred and jealousy, foolishly believed that Jesus' death would be the end of him. In Matthew, we read about their plot to kill Jesus. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that in 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, St. Matthew says. Following that, there was the betrayal and arrest of Jesus, the mock trial, Pontius Pilate's delivering Jesus over to be crucified, and the crucifixion itself. Certainly, up to the moment of his death, the Jewish leaders must have felt that their plan was progressing very well. Soon, Jesus would be silenced and out of the way for good. But God had other plans. They were a great number of miracles. A tearing of a curtain in the temple, the splitting of the rocks, the opening of the graves, even an earthquake that happened the moment that Jesus died. They could hardly have gone unnoticed, especially the earthquake. Because earthquakes and their tremors can be felt for miles from the center. The earthquake would have been felt by the people who lived in the neighboring towns and villages, perhaps even the neighboring countries. If Jewish leaders thought that they could pretty well restrict the notice of the dastardly deeds of Calvary to Jerusalem, they were sadly and sorely mistaken. God kept on performing miracles. There was the miracle of the resurrection, the disciples' restoration and emboldening of the disciples upon Jesus' resurrection appearance. The miracles of Pentecost, like the wind sound, the flames of fire that rest on the disciples' head, the ability to speak in languages that they have never learned, and a sermon preached by Peter that convicted people of their sins and called them to repentance and then directed them to Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of the world. We are told that on that day alone, 3,000 people were drawn to the Savior, in whom they were moved by the Spirit and the faith given by the Spirit. The next day, God, through Peter and John, healed a man who was lame from birth. This drew a crowd, and a strong witness was given to Jesus Christ. On that day, another 5,000 people were drawn to the Savior in whom they placed their faith. This same God saw fit to use Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to record four gospel accounts in order that all people might be drawn to himself. And if that were too little, as the months and years went by, God drew others to himself in Jesus Christ. There were those who began to formulate statements of faith, which eventually we know as the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, which we use on Sundays that we're not celebrating the sacrament of the altar. It can be traced to the first century to a baptismal formula found in Christ's Great Commission to his disciples. It is thought to originally have been used by early Christians to teach people who had been drawn to Christ to become part of Christ's church through baptism. In its present form, the Apostles' Creed can be traced back to the 6th century. Think of how many people the Holy Spirit drew to Christ through the Apostles' Creed. Think of how many people the Holy Spirit helped to keep them in Christ through the regular profession of their faith using the Apostles and the Nicene Creeds. Summaries of the Christian faith, summaries of Scripture, summaries of God's wonderful working in creation, redemption, and sanctification. Dr. Martin Luther was one who was drawn to Christ and then was used by God to draw others to Christ. Dr. Luther's explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed says, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, from the power of the devil. Not with perishable things, such as gold or silver, but with his precious blood, innocent suffering, and bitter death. That I may be his own, and live with him in his kingdom, serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity." This is most certainly true. The Holy Spirit, over the years, has also drawn to Christ people who were gifted in music, gifted in writing, both words and melodies to fit those words. In our Lutheran service book, as well as our Lutheran hymnal, there are hundreds of examples. "When I survey the wondrous cross, in the cross of Christ I glory. We sing the praise of him who died. Come to Calvary's holy mountain. Go to dark Gethsemane. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, drawn to the cross which thou hast blessed." Remarkable, isn't it? That God would use natural things of this world. An earthquake, as well as the foolish things of this world. Sinful disciples who themselves need to be forgiven. Words, water, bread, and wine. As the means by which he draws all people to himself. Nevertheless, it is through the means of grace, through the faithful witness of those who have gone before and are with Christ, even through our hymnody, that we, like the witnesses of the earthquake, have been drawn to God, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness in the crucifixion of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God, who does all things well in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.